Second Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse number 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how else can you escape such pollution except through Jesus Christ? Amen. We're talking about saved folks. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, if after they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. When a man eats his own vomit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to declare your word. I need you desperately tonight. I ask that you'd speak through me. God, I don't want to be up here just preaching a message to preach a message, but I want your anointing upon me. I want you to speak through me, Father. I yield myself as a vessel to you, Lord. These hands are your hands tonight. These feet are your feet, and my heart, it beats solely and only for you, God. Father, minister through me to this great congregation. Uplift us and strengthen us and equip us, God. Let us be strong. Let us not return, God, from where you have brought us from. Help us to be more resolute in our stand for you, to be more committed than ever before. Let this message, God, inspire such commitment. God, let it put in us a strong stand against sin and against going back. Father, touch each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. When a man eats his own vomit. It is a very disgusting title, but it is a true statement spiritually. Today, we have been told, and we have been told that there is no such thing as backsliding. That it's impossible for a person who has been saved to leave salvation. That if they left salvation, they truly were never saved to begin with. I want to tell you that that is a lie. It is very possible for one person who has once been enlightened by Jesus Christ, whose soul has been regenerated by the blood of the Lamb, who has been completely changed, their mind changed, their heart changed, their lives changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've come into church one way, they left church a new creature in Christ Jesus. It is very possible for that believer to leave the faith, to walk away. Remember, Paul said, I am careful lest I myself become a castaway. How important is it if the Apostle Paul felt in his heart that it was possible for him to lose salvation, that he guard his own heart? How much more for you and I who have not seen Jesus on the road of Damascus, who have not beheld his glory in such majesty, who has not been caught up to the third heaven and seen and heard revelations such as Paul? How much more should we, the Christian, remain firm and be more committed and dedicated to the things of God in the day and hour in which we live? Today, I am certain that there are a lot of people who claim Christianity who have never been regenerated. They've never experienced Jesus Christ. They've never come to the knowledge of our saving, you know, the Savior of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They've never truly repented. They came to an altar, they knelt down, they shed a few tears, but they went out the same devil they came in. They never changed. I want you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ will change your life. And if you've never been changed, then you've never been saved. And that's the truth of it. So I'm not talking to the one who's never been changed. I'm talking about the one who has been and goes back. Because the Bible likens the person who has tasted the glorious gift of salvation and goes back into sin from which God has brought them out of as a dog going back to eat his vomit. And when a man leaves God who once has tasted the glorious gift of salvation, it's a man eating his own vomit. It's a disgusting thing to think about, but that's what happens spiritually. The church is in the church age, the doctrine is called backsliding. Now, some churches will tell you it's impossible. And because of that, I want to be clear on the statement. Because the Bible tells us that God was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from God unto wicked false idols. God was angry with him. His heart was turned from him. Here's a man who once prayed, God, give me wisdom. God, I don't need any riches. I don't need anything. Give me wisdom to lead your people. God was so impressed with such a request that God blessed Solomon not with just wisdom, but great, great wisdom that people traveled all over the world. Even the Queen of Sheba come to see all that Solomon had attained in all of his wisdom. But yet here Solomon, he marries all these women. He had like 1,000 wives, 700 concubines, 300 wives, or vice versa, one way or the other. And those women turned his heart from God. He married every different one he could. If they were from the Philistine camp, he'd marry them. If they're from some other place, he'd marry them and bring them in. And his heart was turned from God. And God was angry at Solomon because he left God for women. Let me remind you that Jesus told the church of Ephesus, return to your first love. You've left your first love. Let me remind you that it's easy. The church of Laodicea was told that they were neither hot nor cold, but they were lukewarm. And Jesus said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said, you make me sick. There's no heat. There's no cool. I were that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And there's no life inside of you. I'm telling you, backsliding is very possible. The last words Jesus ever spoke to the church were not words of love. They were words of repentance. Paul said to the church of Galatia, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the faith. I am shocked that I have espoused you to Christ and how quickly you left him. It is very possible for a person to leave God. I am reminded of a good friend of mine who went to Bible college with me. We used to sit and converse on scriptures. We would stay up till the wee hours of the morning talking about how good and wonderful God was. There is no question in my mind that his heart was regenerated. Matter of fact, so close of friends were we that during the summer he came to California and stayed the whole summer with me in California. And we enjoyed the time preaching and going places and doing things for God. He came to my church and we had a great time together. But it wasn't long after ministry, we had parted ways. I went one way, he went another way. And I didn't get to speak much to him anymore, but I heard through way of his ex-wife that he decided that he was done with God. And he took his Bibles and he burned every single one of them. I am telling you, it is possible for a man who once was regenerated to reject God. Church, you understand here now. You sitting on this pew have a free will. You can leave God at any time that you want to, but you'd be a fool to do such a thing. You'd be foolish to abandon God's commands and go back to the world in which God has regenerated you from. Why eat your own vomit when God's got great riches and blessings for you? Paul said, why are you entangled again in these things? The church of Galatia. He told the church of Corinth, your boasting is bad. You're boasting about sin. I hear among you that there's a man who took his mother as his wife. He said, your boasting is evil and is wrong. You're on the wrong road. Repent and make it right. He said that to the church. But today we are told, no, we just need to love everybody. It's not as bad as you think. It's all right. God understands. God understands. He knows my heart. He does know your heart, my dear friend. Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Jeremiah said. It is very obvious that our hearts are evil, and so God has to regenerate our heart. He has to regenerate our mind. He has to regenerate our passions. And because of that regeneration, God has totally changed who we are.
Behold, all things become new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if he made you new, you should not go back to the old. Peter said, if you go back to the old, your state is worse than when it was before.
I have seen people who have been delivered from drugs and alcohol. They go back to the drugs and alcohol. It's a man returning to his own vomit. It isn't long till they are more entangled than they have ever been in all of their life. Because the sin they left, they went back to. And the enemy took and took and took because they gave and gave and gave. Asaph wrote a psalm. He said, my foot almost slipped. Psalm 73, 1, 2 records his words that he almost slipped because he got his eyes off of God and got his eyes on man. Began to see the wickedness of his day and seen the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, I almost slipped. A while back, I preached a message here about the fundamentals of slipping. And I used several points about what it takes to slip. How we slip and how we fall back. Let me reiterate them to you. The first area, the first fundamental of slipping is loss of concentration. If you slip, you have lost concentration. You quit concentrating on where you're standing and you begin to concentrate on other things. I cannot tell you how many times I've almost fell off the ladder in that new building over there. Because I began to stand on it and I felt like I had my feet underneath me. And I got my eyes off the ladder and my eyes on something else. I lost concentration on my step. And when I moved my body weight one way, that ladder began to move. And I promise you what I do is I grab really quickly. Because I know that if I don't, I'm going down. The first fundamental of slipping is loss of concentration. When you get your eyes on the world and off of Jesus, you begin to lose concentration. Church, it is so easy to lose concentration and begin to slip down that slippery slope of backsliding. You got your eyes on somebody else. You got your eyes on a church member. You got your eyes on a preacher. You got your eyes on a song. You got your eyes on a praise and worship leader. And you got your eyes off of Jesus. It's easy to sink in the storm of your life while you got your eyes on everything else aside from God. Let me remind you that Peter was able to walk in very unstable ground while he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, because his concentration was on Jesus. But when his eyes got on the storm of his life, he began to sink. Church, don't slip back. The second fundamental of slipping is being overconfident. I cannot tell you, and I've slipped many times in confidence. In Missouri, we have ice. We've had ice here, but it ain't like Missouri ice. I cannot tell you how many times I wore dress shoes and went whoop because of ice. I was confident that I could easily make it from the front door to the car. I was confident that I could make it from my house to the car. I was confident that I could make it from the parking lot into the church. I was confident that these feet could get me there. But what I did not know is that in confidence, my eyes were off where I was supposed to step. I lost all my eyes, and the enemy puts traps in amongst our feet, and we don't even realize that there's stumbling blocks all around us. And in confidence, we think, I can make it to heaven just the way I'm going. I can make it to heaven without any complications. I can make it without any heartaches or problems. And when we do that, we find stumbling blocks at our feet and didn't even know they were there. There has been many preachers that have fallen to stumbling blocks because in confidence they thought they could keep doing it the way they were doing it. They didn't realize the devil had a woman there who was trying to seduce him. They didn't realize that the devil had a plan to bring him down through finances or through his family. He didn't realize. I'm telling you, this is very possible, church, for this to happen. So you got to be careful that you don't move in confidence and slip on the slippery tracks of the enemy. When we began to slip, we start to fall. Falling is the inevitable thing of slipping, isn't it? The moment you slip, your body loses traction. You begin to go back. You begin to go forward. If you've ever experienced a fall from a slip, you know what I'm talking about. Fear grips your heart at that very moment because you don't know what's going to happen. No matter how old you are, same fear grips you. I was swinging in a tree that I could hit my head on today, on a branch, when I was a little kid. And I was swinging like this, and I seen on the Olympics how they went around the bar. And I thought, I can do that. I know I can. And so I got on that tree branch. I began to swing. And I swang. I began to swing and swing. And I think I got about that vertical. And my hand slipped off that branch. Fear gripped my heart. I knew that me and the ground were going to meet very soon. So I put my arms down. And I shattered this elbow. And the elbow was so bad that it literally punctured through the skin of my arm. It was horrible, horrible break. They put pins in this arm. God healed me of pins. I have no pins in this arm to this day. God healed me. God did a miracle in this arm. It's amazing what God did. But aside from that, I remember the fear of the fall. I went to grab whatever I could. That branch was too far. Couldn't get it. I tried to get a passing branch. Couldn't get it. Everything was in slow motion, you see. My adrenaline was racing. Everything was going. I was in fear. I was doing everything I can to grab a hold of something. Isn't that what we do when we begin to fall? Christian, I want you to understand, why aren't you grasping for things while you're slipping back? When you fall, you look for something quick to grab onto. Asaph said that when he began to slip, he remembered why he didn't leave God. He went back to the house of the Lord. And he said, then I remembered the goodness of the Lord. Then I remembered he found traction. He found a grip. He found something to hold on to. And he would not go back. No matter what he saw, no matter what he faced. Hosea stood before the people of God and he preached a message. He said, return to the Lord and he will heal your backsliding. I want you to know the backslider has an open invitation to come back. Well, what about that passage that says, though, that God will not accept him if they've once tasted the heavenly gift and they've departed, he won't. That we're talking about apostasy, not backsliding. God will take them back. Every backslider that's left God, that had once experienced God, God will heal the backslider. I said, God can heal the backslider. I don't care how far they've gone, how horrible it's been. I don't care what they've been entangled in. There's nothing that the grace of God and the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ cannot overcome. In every backslidden heart in America, God can revive it. Hosea said, return to the Lord and he will heal. I promise you that when people come back to God, God is ready to heal. I don't care how long they've left him and where they're at today. God's ready to heal them. But there's got to be a return, you see. You can't expect God to heal what doesn't come home. Let me remind you of the prodigal son who was given everything he had. Given all his inheritance, he went out and wasted on riotous living. Let me remind you that he came to himself and he said, I will arise and go home. Many people get to the point where they say, I will arise, but they never go home. They never go home. They get to the place where they say, I'm going to do it. I heard a preacher say, if I told you that the frogs decided to jump in the pond, I'd ask you how many frogs were still on the shore, you'd say, they're all in the pond. They all jumped in the pond. He said, no, I didn't tell you they jumped in the pond. I said they decided to. Some Christians, some people decide they're going to go home, but they never go home. They come to themselves and say, it's better serving the Lord. I should have never left him. But they do anyway, and they never come home. The prodigal son got up from himself, said, I eat better at home. Everything's better at home. What am I doing eating in the slop with the pigs? What am I doing in this horrible place? And so they get up, and they go. He goes home, and his father sees him afar off. Let me remind you what Hosea said. If you return to the Lord, he will heal your backside. Sliding, he said, and the prodigal son received, the father received the prodigal son back, put a robe on his back, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger, and threw a great party and said, this my son was dead and is now alive again. Jeremiah said, return, backslider, God is married to you. I want you to know that I have, as your pastor, and as your ex-pastor, Brother Schultz, has, we have espoused you to Jesus Christ, and you are married to him. You belong to the Lord. And in that belonging, do not commit adultery upon him.
Do not go out there and become an adulterer with the world. Don't go out there and taste the things of the world and say, I can do both. I can skate the line of hypocrisy and live a little bit with the world and a little bit with God and think it's going to be all right. Don't accept the world as its way of life, but live the life as those that are married to Jesus Christ. I can tell you that I love my bride. Where's she at? There she is. I love my bride, and I don't offend my bride. I don't sit alone with any other woman because that would offend my bride. I don't go out with other women. That would offend my bride. I don't kiss other women. That would, aside my girls, that would offend my bride. I don't dare go against my bride. That would be horrible. It'd be detestable. You would all get sick if the preacher left his bride. I want you to know you have been a spouse to Jesus Christ. Jeremiah said, God has married you to return backslider. Return back to God. I want to remind you of the story about Hosea, that prophet of God who was commanded by God to marry a woman who was taken into adultery, a woman who had the idea and the mindset of being a woman of the street, a woman of ill repute. He married her as a sign of what Israel had done to God. God had married Israel, who had left God, who had rejected God, who had went away from God. And God said to Hosea, marry her. She had four children, and we don't even know if they're Hosea's, because their names mean horrible things. And Hosea married this woman. That woman left Hosea and went out whoring after all the men of the town, until finally Hosea heard the word of God. The word of God said to Hosea, go and purchase back your wife. And he went to the streets where they were selling her because they were done with her. The world was finished with her. And there's his wife on the street corner. And Hosea said, I've come to purchase you back. And that's exactly what God has done to Israel and to us. He's come to purchase us back. I don't want you to be spotted by the world again. Look at what the Father's done for you. Look at how much he's loved you. He's done everything to have you return back to the Lord. Charles Finney wrote about backsliding. It's called the backslider in heart. I want you to know that people backslide in heart before they ever backslide on a pew. I've seen people backslide sit on a pew. It takes a long time for the body to catch up with the heart. It does. I've seen people miserable in church. Miserable. Backslidden in their heart. They're only there because they feel like they got to be there. They need to be there. Their body tells them to go, but their spirit isn't regenerated anymore. Their soul isn't longing for it anymore. Their heart isn't engaged in it anymore. They go out of religious motions and out of the fact that they need to be there, or maybe the pastor might call me. I want you to know that you should come to church because your heart wants to be here. If your heart's at home watching a football game, maybe that's what you ought to do for your living. Be a football player. But if it's all about God, get in there and serve God with all your heart and with all your might. Let me remind you that Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Don't hold back one bit from God. Charles Finney wrote, let me give you eight simple things, and I won't make them long, and I will not belabor them. The eight simple things of a sign of a backslidden heart. The first one is the backslidden heart doesn't enjoy prayer anymore. The silent prayer, the short prayer, prayer is not enjoyed. It's not something they care about. It's not something they want. If the first sign of a backsliding heart is a heart that doesn't really want to pray. The second sign of a backsliding heart is a heart that doesn't want to hear the word or receive the word or care to hear the word. If you'd rather be at home watching a football game, maybe your heart ain't where it's supposed to be. The sign of a backslidden heart is if you're worldly or carnally minded. The Bible said to be carnally minded is to be an enemy of God. And how many Christians today are so much like the world that you can't even tell they're a Christian? It happens in every church all over America. I know people say they won't go to church because there's carnal people there. I want you to know, who cares about the carnal folk? What about you? I'm not worried about Jesus. You know, I thank God for what Jesus said to Peter. Peter said, what are you going to do about John? What are you going to do about that John over there? What's John going to, what are you going to do about John? You know what Jesus said? Who cares about John? Follow me. Who cares about that? You follow the Lord. Well, my husband don't want to serve God. Who cares? You serve God. Well, my friends don't want to serve God. Who cares? You serve God. Well, my family thinks I'm weird because I serve God. Who cares? You serve God. We're not following people. We're following Jesus. The fourth sign of a backslidden heart is if the condition of our churches doesn't draw you into a painful anxiety and prayer. If you can look at the churches across America and find no pain in your heart and no grieving in your heart, maybe the heart isn't where it is supposed to be. Charles Finney wrote these words, not me. Number five, when wickedness does not distress or grieve you. Signs of a backslidden heart. When wickedness does not distress or grieve you. When you could sit there and see wickedness on your television, hear it on your radios, and enjoy every single moment of it. I'm telling you, it's a sign of a backsliding heart. If ill will is harbored towards any being that God has made, you cannot continue to enjoy the presence of God. And I quote verbatim Charles G. Finney, who said those words. It's a sign of a backslidden heart. If evil associations are what you desire, if you'd rather talk to someone about the world and the things of the world than talk to someone about God and His Word, it's an evil association. Let me remind you that Lot corrupted, he vexed his soul with his filthy conversation. With the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah, his life was filthy. When Lot was rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah, his daughters were backslid. His wife was backslid. His daughters that were married off were destroyed in the fiery brimstone of that city. Lot went in there wealthy with cattle and with servants and with everything. And when he came out, it was a backslidden man, two backslidden daughters, and a wife that looked back because she loved that place. The Bible said she turned into a pillar of salt that day because she looked back because she loved the evil that was in that place. I want you to know that God doesn't want you to have evil associations and to be associated with evil. Let me remind you that if it appears to be evil, abstain from it. That is scripture, brother. That's not Pastor Bruce. Number eight, and this is my last one about Charles G. Finney. Charles G. Finney said this, when you approach the things of God with levity. In other words, the things of God are not as important as they should be. When you approach the things of God with levity. When you began to think, it's just a church service, what's the deal? When you began to think, oh, it's just one prayer meeting, what's the big deal? When you began to think, well, it's just one service, what's the deal? When you began to think, well, I don't really need to be as committed as I used to be, you began to slip down that slippery slope. It's very easy to begin to lose faithfulness and commitment and dedication, isn't it, church? Every one of us can look through our own heart's doors and find that there were times where we could have left God and backslid, but God was merciful to us, wasn't He? And He brought someone by to remind us of the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somehow in your heart you stood up and you stood there. I have told many people, when you have done all to stand, all you need to do is stand therefore. Because the devil wants you to feel like you can't do anything. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. You might as well just leave it alone. But I want to remind you that God has given us the power to stand. He's not left you powerless, but He's given you armor. The Bible said, yea, you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that loved you. And you are not left without the ability to be an overcomer. God has given us that ability. But when you approach the things of God with a levity, it's a sign of a backsliding heart. Let me remind you of the Bible scriptures where men have left God. Jonah left God. Jonah, go down to that great city, Nineveh, and preach my word to them. And the Bible said that Jonah got on a ship and began to head towards Tarshish, the opposite direction from Nineveh. He did not like Nineveh. He did not want to preach for God. And so he decided he'd go a different direction. I want to praise God for the whales that have swallowed us up that tried to keep us from going the wrong way. Amen. I want to praise God for the whale that stopped us from going the wrong direction. I want to praise God for that preacher who stepped all over my toes and told me, "Don't you go that way, boy." I want to praise God for those people who kicked me in the rear and said, "What are you thinking? Get back on track." I want to praise God for those moments, because I'd have ended up like a Jonah. Jonah went on that boat and he said, "I'm not going to Nineveh." God had to swallow him with a whale. Finally, in his half backslidden heart, he goes through Nineveh. He doesn't even preach repentance. You go read the book of Jonah. He doesn't even preach repentance. He just says, "You're all going to die." For 3 days, he marched through that city. It took him 3 days to preach to the whole city. He goes out, he sits on a hill, and he's waiting for them to die. He's waiting for them to die. All that time, here's Nineveh and that great city. They're repenting in the city. They're making right with God. And God doesn't destroy them because they have repented. They return back to the Lord, you see. And God doesn't destroy them. And Nineveh is back, and Jonah's backslid in his heart. He gets angry. I want to remind you that Paul said to Timothy, "Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world." Here's a man who walked with the greatest apostle you and I would ever want to walk with. The apostle Paul, who wrote 13 epistles and 14, if you believe he wrote Hebrews. And this great apostle who's seen visions and done great things for God. Here's an apostle who got snake bit. He shook the snake off in the fire and never had a problem with him. The barbarians thought, "What kind of man is this? This is a great apostle." Here's a man they take handkerchiefs and aprons to. He prays for him. They take him back to the sick and they're healed. Demas walked with this man, heard the gospel from his lips, actually participated in the ministry in Paul's ministry. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Demas hath forsaken me because he loves this world." Let me remind you of one of Jesus' disciples, Judas. Judas was never saved, people have told me many times. He was never really saved. I don't know how saved you can be when you cast out demons, but I'm assuming it's pretty saved. I have yet to see a backslider do that. Matter of fact, I have yet to see a backslider do the things that Jesus entrusted to Judas. He was the one who kept the purse of the disciples. He's the one who kept the money. That's why he was upset when that woman broke that alabaster box, because he's the one who took care of the cash. He was so consumed in the cash that alabaster box could have brought. He was consumed in that. He was the one who was entrusted with those things. And Judas was sent out with the 70. And he was told to preach, heal the sick, and do miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. And Judas did every single one of those things. The Bible says they all did miracles and wonders. And they were amazed when they came back. And so they said demons were subject to him. Judas was a part of that. Judas was involved in that. Don't tell me Judas wasn't saved. Judas was saved. Judas made a choice. He had a choice to make, and he chose the silver of the world over the Savior of the world. And in so he sold Jesus, and in so he died a horrible death in that day, because he gave up what God had intended for him. And they had to replace the man Judas. I believe the Holy Spirit chose Paul. They chose Matthias. But I think the Holy Spirit picked Paul to be the disciple to take his place. But Judas left God. Let me remind you that in the book of Judges, 7 times is recorded that the children of Israel left God and God sold them into slavery. 7 times they repented and God brought them back. Every time they repented, God brought them back. I want you to know that God is so merciful that every time we repent, he brings us back. The problem with us is that we have to keep going through the same motion. I call it the judges cycle. We're in, we're out, we're in, we're out, we're in, we're out, we're in, we're out. Let God heal you of your backsliding. Now, I said all that for 2 points. Number one, backsliders love company. Backsliders love company. I want you to know that as a person is leaving God, they are the most dangerous people you could ever come in contact with, because they want to take you down with them. They have you ever heard the old cliche, those who are in sorrow, they want company? I don't know how that cliche goes, but you know what I'm saying. Misery loves company. That's it. Misery loves company. Those that are backsliding, they get on that evil path, and instead of finding the Word of God to grab onto and bring them back to that steady place, that sure place of standing, they grab onto a believer and say, come on, let's slip together. Some of you have met many of them while I've been the pastor of this church. Some of you have met them as they have talked to you and tried to get you to leave this church. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching now. I've heard about them devils walking around the church trying to get people. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. The backslidden in heart love the company of other people to go backsliding with them. Go chasing after the world with them. Listen, if you want the world, go get it. But if you don't, stay in the house of God and let God fill you with His love and power. Let Him fill you with His anointing. Let Him set your heart on fire. David Wilkerson recorded a story. Matter of fact, he wrote a beautiful article on backsliding. I challenge you to go read it. Just type in David Wilkerson backsliding. It'll bless you. David Wilkerson wrote about a woman who came to him and talked to him and said, my father used to be a preacher, and he left God, and he divorced my mama, divorced his wife. He went and married a woman of the world, and he took my brothers with him. All her brothers left God and went back to the world and went back to the sin. When a man eats his own vomit, church, when a man eats his own vomit, he went back to the world. That woman said, and now he calls me a fake. Now he ridicules me, makes fun of me, and talks evil about me because I serve God and I refuse to go back. Here's this woman facing such a horrible situation. A father who once knew God, loved God, and preached his gospel is now ridiculing them that live the way of Jesus Christ and asking them to leave God and saying that it's foolish to serve God. And David Wilkerson testified and said, praise God that she's refused to heed the call of the backslider who's calling him back. Let me remind you that David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he brought a curse upon the place. Let me remind you that the sin of Achan had brought a curse upon the place because they chose the world over God. And now there's curses everywhere because the people have refused to heed the call of God and they receive the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Backsliders love company. My second point is this. It's more a prayer than a point. My prayer is that every backslider is taken to the lowest pits they can ever be in. Because maybe in that deep pit, they can look up and remember how good God really was. I've got family members that are backslid. God, take them to the pits. Let them look up and ask, why did I leave him? My prayer is that if anyone runs away from God, make it hard on them to run. Make it so difficult for them to leave. Make it so tough for them to leave. Make it difficult, God. And if they leave, God, take them down to the pit. David was in a deep pit after he sinned with Bathsheba. The prophet said, you're the man that needs to die. David began to repent. I love his repentive prayer in Psalms chapter 51. He says in that repentive prayer, oh Father, he said, renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. You want to know the difference between King Saul and King David? It's repentance and really being sorry about what you did. King David fell on his face. I want you to know, if backsliding isn't possible, then why is repentance necessary even for David and for the churches
of revelation. If repentance isn't necessary, if backsliding isn't possible, then repentance isn't necessary to the churches, the seven churches of Revelation. The repentance isn't necessary for King David. It's not important at all. Why even repent? Because repentance is necessary and backsliding is possible, and we have to have that renewed spirit inside our lives. The backslider needs to go into that pit so that God can bring him up. I want to remind you that the prodigal son found himself eating what the pigs ate, defiling himself to such a place that that Jewish boy who wasn't even allowed to eat pork was eating what the pigs ate. He was feasting on the food they ate. What a low place to be. He couldn't even eat the pig that was eating the food, but yet he's eating the food that the pig eats. That's what you call a low pit. God, take us down to that place. If we have left you, bring us down so that we might come back. So that we might come back. I want you to know that backsliding is very possible. Let me read to you the scripture one more time. For if after that we have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Church, let's not ever go to the place where we would even consider going back to the world. Let's go so far with God that going back is impossible. My point of this sermon tonight is not to destroy your confidence in God, but to put a firm foundation in your feet, to stick you to that place, to be such a sticky Christian that you can't go back. My goal is not to discourage, but to encourage you to stay the course with God, to not let anything deter you away from what God wants you to do. You got to make up your mind to go to heaven. Just like my mama said to me, Bruce, I'm going whether you're going or not. I'm going whether you're going or not. Church, let's make up our minds tonight. There's no way we're ever going back.